I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Alexandra Nanotic. As a registered physiotherapist, Alexandra treats patients of all ages with musculoskeletal conditions. She graduated with a master's in physiotherapy from the University of Ottawa in 2014. In 2017, Alexandra opened her own clinic with a vision to provide tailored, hands-on treatment to each patient. Alexandra is an adamant advocate of regular physical activity to improve strength, flexibility, and cardiovascular activity. She noticed that patients who actively participate in their own recovery process by following an exercise regime have in many cases also reduced their stress and anxiety levels without having to take medication. Empowering individuals to take an active role in their health inspires her to do what she does. Alexandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, David. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. So thank you again for this opportunity.
I'm really looking forward to our discussion. So Alexandra, what made you decide to apply your skill of physical therapy as an entrepreneur?
You know what? I've been in the field for about 3 years working in private clinics in Ottawa and Toronto before I decided to become an entrepreneur. And when I was working in the private clinics, I felt like I was working on an assembly line. Honestly, I felt like the patients that I was treating were not getting the best of the treatment that I was able to provide. And so when I felt comfortable, with myself and my treatment, I decided to go on my own in order to provide a much better quality type of service than I was able to do when I was working elsewhere. So that's the main reason. It's because I really wanted to focus on one person at a time, dedicate, the full session, the full hour, all of my energy and all of my focus onto them before I moved on to the next person without, having the pressure of a boss or whatever to just, put people through. So that's the main reason, I would say.
And it sounds to me like you spent some time sort of figuring out what your own methodology and your own system was that you do over and over again with patients.
I did. I mean, 3 years was a long time for me to discover my my preferred type of treatment. And so after the 3 years, I just decided to go for it, to open up my own little place. And that's what I did. I just, I purchased the equipment that I needed, and I just decided to kind of launch the whole thing. And that's, and I just kind of took it from there.
So just before you launched, as you were planning the start of your business in physical therapy, what was going through your mind? How did you feel about the impending change?
You know what? I was very excited. I was looking forward to it all. I was very enthusiastic, but I can't say that I was very scared, to be honest. I think I was just looking forward to, being my own boss, working the way I like to work and treat my patients the way I like to treat them. But I have to say that when I did launch and when I did start, I found it a lot harder than I expected. So I think I was a little bit over enthusiastic, but I'm not. I don't regret it. I really think it's been a good journey. It's been a hard journey, but it's been fun. It's been really pleasant the whole time.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is definitely hard work. It's actually, most people talk about it being much harder than being an employee.
It is. It really is. And I can now really see the two sides of the coin. And I'm not saying I would ever go back to being an employee, but this is definitely harder than I thought it was going to be.
And what kinds of tips would you offer people that are going through the same process and thinking about launching their first business, what would you say to them about how to have the kind of positive mindset that you had? Because I know that many people, they're like their own worst enemies. They'll agonize over something. And often if the people around them are not entrepreneurs, negative advice from people that are close to them, what kinds of tips can you offer people about having that same positive mindset that you had?
I would say that if they really believe that what they have to offer is a lot better than, you know, what they could offer if they worked elsewhere, I would say go for it. I would encourage everyone to really just do whatever they're passionate about. Like I said, just believe in themselves and believe that it's all going to work out fine. And no, I'm not going to say that, you know, it's going to be a walk through the park every day. It really isn't. But I think that if they believe that what they have to offer, then it's going to be all worthwhile in the end.
Right. Now that makes sense. So now let's talk a little bit about your own particular methodology in what you do. I read it in the introduction. And also, you mentioned that you really wanted to be able to provide particular kind of quality to your patients. What is your method and how does it differ from the way other people provide a similar kind of service?
So I would say that my method or my expertise is really my hands-on skills. So my manual therapy is what I focus on the most when I treat my patients. In a lot of the clinics, you'll see a lot of therapists use, you know, things like the TENS machine, which is an electric tool that helps relax the muscles and it makes people feel better temporarily, right? Or they'll, for example, use hot packs and ice packs, again, to make them feel better, to reduce inflammation, to increase blood flow to the area. I personally don't use any of those tools. I like to work with my hands the whole time. So from beginning to end, my hands are on you. I'm working on your joints, on your muscles, and stretching you out. I'm just, you know, working with your body, depending on what I feel is it needs to be done. And I think that that's what I've basically mastered, right? And I think that's what differentiates me from a lot of the other places, is that I focus on one person. I do all of my manual therapy or hands-on work the whole time for the whole session. And I think that most people appreciate what I do. I think that they can really see the benefit of this kind of therapy versus the other kind or any other kind that they've had in the past, in which they didn't see as much results as they do with me. So I think that's my expertise.
What kinds of results do your patients end up achieving?
They end up having a lot less pain. So pain relief is huge. And then a lot better range of motion and a lot more strength, right? Those are typically the main goals in physical therapy, is to get people moving again the way like they were before, which improves their quality of life. But all of that, happens when you don't have limitations in your range of motion or strength, right? Or pain, right? Pain can also be very limiting. So those are the main things that my patient sees, is really a lot better movement, because the mobility, the strength, flexibility, and all of that is improved.
And I also mentioned in the introduction that you're a strong advocate of regular physical activity.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about that and how that ties into what you do with patients, and also how the regular physical activity helps the patients.
Right. So I encourage all of my patients to be physically active in whatever shape or form that is for them, right? Everybody's different. So I don't force one over another. I just think that if people stay physically active regularly every day throughout the day, it's better than not. So I will always give my patients exercises and stretches that I want them to work on until I see them next time. But besides that, I also encourage them, you know, to take breaks from sitting at a computer for, you know, 3 hours straight. I will encourage them to take a walk after work, or to park their car a little bit further away and to walk that distance, or to use the stairs instead of taking the elevator. So whatever it is that, can keep you moving is what I encourage, really. And like I said, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as you keep active.
Right. So it could even be little things like taking the elevator instead of the stairs.
oh, it's the tiniest things, right? And it's and it doesn't matter because all these tiny little things add up, right? And so that's what I think is important to keep in mind. And, you know, even things like, you know, taking a break every 20 to 30 minutes, or, you know, just to go to the washroom or grab a coffee, or just, you know, just to take a little walk is better than not doing it. So by all means.
What's an example of someone who came to you because the person needed physical therapy, and through the regular physical activity that you were promoting, in addition to the work that you did as part of the therapy, there was a positive outcome?
So one of my patients, for example, came in with a hip problem or hip pain. It's a bursitis, which is inflammation of a bursa in the hip, which is very painful. And because of that, he wasn't able to work out, for example, or go to the gym as often, or he wasn't able to do the exercises in the gym that he normally did. So on top of doing treatment with me and exercises that I suggested, the stretches, he felt a lot better. Right. He was able to, I also told him to avoid certain things, right? Because you don't want to do things that will aggravate the pain or make it worse. But I think that you know, with the combination of everything, the therapy, the exercises, avoiding certain exercises, he was able to recover. And now he's able to go back to the gym like before and do all the exercises that he wasn't able to do before. And now he is.
Right. And were there certain kinds of exercises that he was able to do while he was in pain and undergoing treatment that just didn't aggravate the hip?
Of course. I mean, whenever somebody comes in with a problem like that or a problem of the lower body, let's say, I will still encourage him to go back to the gym and do upper body exercises. So he's, you know, he's perfectly fine to do his shoulder or chest or back exercises, just nothing that will aggravate the hip. So that's what I mean. Even if you have an injury, doesn't mean you have to stop working out or exercising. As a matter of fact, I don't encourage that. I discourage it, really. I just want people to stay active no matter their injury, as long as they're careful not to re-injure themselves again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, Alexandra, I wonder if we could go back to talking a little bit about your business journey. You mentioned that when you started your business, you were very enthusiastic about it, yet there were some challenges that you didn't expect.
Yes. And I mean, I'm still very enthusiastic in my business. I still believe in what I do. I still believe that a lot of people can benefit from my services. But what I didn't expect is that it was going to be so tough finding the right type of client, right? They do come in once in a while, but they are pretty hard to get to. And I think part of it is not just the marketing, but it's also the educating, right? It's about educating people on the importance of alternative medicine and the importance of doing this kind of stuff versus, you know, the conventional type of medicine.
Conventional type of medicine meaning what?
Like the drugs and the, you know, the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies and all of those, which, I mean, I don't have anything against, but I personally believe that if you don't have to go down that route, if you can go a more natural or organic way, I think it's better.
Right. Okay. So how would you describe your ideal patient?
Oh my goodness. My ideal patient is a man or woman between the ages of, I would say, 40 and 60, who, you know, spends a lot of time in the front of the computer, or, you know, works a lot sitting down and develops pain due to stiffness and soreness and, you know, just lack of mobility and flexibility in the muscles and joints. And it's just, you know, someone who has a chronic pain because of that. That's the kind of clients I've seen in my practice that I have most success with. And so that's the type of clients that I aim for. But again, it's a lot harder than it seemed at first, to be honest.
Right. And how do your ideal patients typically hear about you?
So there's a few ways. I'm working pretty closely with a family doctor who's referred a few patients over. Then there's been some word of mouth. So some of those patients have referred their friends or family members. And then other people have just found me online. My business is on Google. And so I think that because of the proximity to where they live and what I do, that's how they found me. They just Googled. My name came up. My reviews are pretty good. And I think that, you know, with all of that, when you combine all of that, that's how they found me.
Interesting. And would you say, were you surprised by the level of leads that come to you online versus from a personal referral?
A little bit. I have to say that I was, because I've also been doing some networking and I've, you know, attended some, you know, shows and done some presentations. And I haven't had, to be honest, as much success with those as I did with the Google searches. So that's the other part, is that that's the other part that's challenging, is that I feel like no matter how much I put myself out there, I'm not successful at it as much as I am when mm-hmm. people look me up online.
Yeah, it's interesting. I personally would have expected that you would get more referrals by doing presentations where people actually see you face to face versus online, given the fact that your work is, you're touching the patient. So it's a very intimate relationship.
And I agree with you. And that's why I'm also very surprised at how, you know, challenging this was over the last year and a bit. But that's just a pattern that I've noticed. And so I have to sort of figure out now how to put myself, I guess, more online than anywhere else.
Yeah, interesting. And your work is also, where are you exactly?
So I'm in Toronto.
Okay.
I'm in West Toronto.
Right. So your work needs to be with people who are local, I would assume.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, one of the things that you and I chatted a little bit about before we started recording this episode is revenue models for businesses like yours. And in particular, with business, if you can achieve multiple streams of revenue, and particularly recurring revenue that covers your operating costs and supplies what you need for your to support your lifestyle, then you have a healthy base for your business. And I wondered, given what you've observed in your own business and what you see with people in your sector, what might be some examples you've noticed of businesses that seem to do well with recurring revenue that's coming in at a pretty steady pace month after month?
Right. One example that comes to mind is the example of a clinic I used to work at before, where the physiotherapist would have her, you know, physiotherapy services, but she would also have a small area with gym equipment, right? And so what she would do is the clients that she treats, she would charge them a monthly fee for using the gym area and doing the exercises that she provides them. And so I thought that was an interesting way. I had never seen it before. A lot of the other clinics will also have, you know, this gym equipment and all, but they wouldn't necessarily, you know, charge extra for it. But this one in particular does. And I thought that was a smart way of doing business. So I was pretty impressed with that, actually.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that that I tend to ask people that are trying to build recurring revenue is, who's your ideal client? Like you and I had talked about. What's their major pain point? What is the problem that they want solved and that you're helping them solve? And in addition to the immediate problem, what part of that problem do they have over and over again, month in and month out? You know, so in the example you just described, the therapist's patients have a need to work out on an ongoing basis, to have regular physical activity. And by solving the problem of the regular physical activity in a way that's connected to the therapy, it's a beautiful solution that provides recurring revenue.
Exactly. And what I would say to that is that even if, and this is where the education part comes in, right? Is that even if the client's needs or you know, have been met in the sense that, or goals have been met in the sense that, you know, their pain is gone, their mobility is much better, their strength is improving. The idea is to, you know, especially if you have a place for, you know, gym equipment or a small gym connected with your clinic, is to maintain that condition. So even if you're feeling better, it's not to say that you should stop doing your exercises or working out. And I think this is where, you know, like I said, the education part comes in, is that you have to educate people about this. You have to let them know that if you stop doing your exercises or if you stop working out, you're going to go back to what you were like before. So in order to prevent further pain or injury, you know, you should continue exercising.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Education is a big part of this.
Right.
So, Alexandra, now that you've been in business for a little while, what do you dream to achieve? What would you love to have your therapy business become?
I would like to go more online because I find that the number of people here that I can see here physically in my clinic is pretty limited. It's the maximum I could see a day is 5 or 6 people. So what I would like to do is kind of take it more online where I could serve more people than that, right? And so what I would like to do is come up with some kind of a program that I could sell online that would help people that I like to treat most, which are the, you know, men and women between the ages of 40 and 60 that do spend a lot of time in front of their computers. So if I could teach them with, you know, a series of videos online on how to do stretches and exercises, even at their desks or in their offices, then I think, you know, I think I will have achieved a lot more than I can here in the clinic.
Right. That sounds like a great thing to work towards.
No, I was just going to say that is what I'm sort of working on right now. That's what I'm strategizing about.
Sounds great. Alexandra, whom do you know personally who's done a remarkably good job at smashing plateaus?
I have a friend. Her name is Jennifer Lau. She's a doctor of chiropractic. And I think she's been really successful at smashing plateaus because she's not only successful financially, but she's developed such a great network of people that keep referring, you know, to their friends, referring her to their friends and family members. So her network just keeps growing even more. And I think she's doing an amazing job because you can tell that the service that she provides is so good that people value it and are willing to refer other people to her.
That sounds great. And, you know, going back to your business, what do we have to look forward to in the short term? What's coming up immediately?
Oh my goodness. I don't know how immediately it is, but it is my online presence that I would like to develop a little bit more. So I'm working every day on it, but it's a work in progress, I would have to say.
Okay. And for listeners that want to learn more about you and get in touch with you, particularly people who are in your target market, those 40 to 60 year olds who sit in front of a computer a lot, if they have questions, how can they follow you and get in touch with you?
So I'm on Facebook at Alexandra Nanatic Physiotherapy. I'm also on Instagram as Alexandra Physio. And my website is www.anphysio.ca, where most of my clients can find answers and questions or contact me.
Sounds great. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been physical therapist Alexandra Nanatic. Thank you again, Alexandra, for joining us.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.